Welcome to Talking EDAS, a series of conversations on economic development from EDAS, the Economic Development Association Scotland. I'm Peter Duncan, and in this, our ninth episode, we're delighted to be joined by both Jane Morrison-Ross, Chief Executive of South of Scotland Enterprise, and Rob Davidson, SOSE's Strategy Manager for Community Wealth Building. In this podcast, Jane and Rob join me to review the opportunities and challenges ahead for South of Scotland Enterprise and how its work can help embed community wealth building into all that it does. Lovely to have you joining us this morning. Just as an observation, it strikes me that South of Scotland Enterprise, SOSE as it's become known, has certainly hit the ground running. There seems to be few major developments across the borders or De Vries and Galloway at the agency. It doesn't seem to have some sort of hand in somewhere. As you approach the organisation's third anniversary, what do you consider are its major successes so far?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think one of the major things has been getting through the pandemic and then facing the crisis that followed pretty swiftly on the back of that. The team in SOSE has been incredibly resilient, but not lost sight of the ambition and the aspirations that we've got for the South of Scotland. And I think that's taken real passion and real investment and real grit, to be honest. It feels as though we're at a place now, though, where we can look a little bit more positively ahead, not ignoring the challenges we're still facing, but that can focus really on the future and that ambition. And I think some of the brilliant things that have been going on at the same time have been getting support to almost 1,000 businesses, social enterprises and community groups over the last year, working with a huge number of organisations to get grant funding, loan funding, and really critically, that expert support out the door. So I think for me, it's been a mixture of the two, the tackling adversity, but not losing sight of the ambition and where we're heading.
I mean, obviously, the backdrop's been particularly challenging, but it strikes me that the SOSE of today, set against the new National Strategy for Economic Transformation, seems a long way from the old South of Scotland Enterprise of the past. What are your reflections on the transformation journey so far in terms of economic development across the South?
I think we were set up to be bold, inclusive, striving and responsible, and we are really trying to be different. We have an easier time to do that. We don't have a lot of frameworks and processes and, 30 years or 50 years of ways of working that we have to try and transform. We started with a clean slate, and I think we've been really trying to build the foundations as we run through COVID and the energy crisis and everything else, that we are trying to be, and I hope are certainly seeing progress in being fleet of foot, in getting momentum going, in amplifying the voice of the South of Scotland, and trying to approach things a little bit differently. So we're not there yet. There's a long way to go, but I am seeing huge progress and massive amounts of energy across the team.
And Rob, obviously, as someone new to the organisation, what are your reflections on, Jane suggests, this is, being a new, effectively a new start organisation, making it more dynamic and easier on the process side to get things done?
I think for me it was a great attraction about the organisation itself. I think perhaps it's not necessarily all that common that you're able to join an effective organisation that's starting from the most difficult of initial circumstances, as Jane outlined, and developing a new approach to how we do economic development in the South. And without a doubt, my experience over the past, just over a year now, has been very much that everybody involved in the organisation, to a great extent, aligns and organises themselves around the challenges and the issues and the developing priorities. So very much based on flexibility and collaborative working, which I personally I found really fulfilling and really exciting. Great place to work.
That's well said when your boss is on the line too. That's always important to get these messages right. Jane, it's been, obviously it's been, as you referred to at the start, it's been a really turbulent, two or three years in the wider world. Against those challenges, South of Scotland faces some longer term, more structural problems and challenges. How do you see SOSI helping to tackle them over the medium and longer term?
It's a good question. I think there's probably two parts to it. One, we are trying to look at everything as an opportunity to make change happen or to do things better or to bring in innovation to solve some of the problems. I think the two main challenges that came up when we were doing all of our roadshows and consultations and, when we're out talking to businesses and communities are still transport infrastructure and housing. Yeah. Transport infrastructure is a harder one. We're working with both local authorities and we have been working with Transport Scotland, who came to the south and visited the region to see firsthand the challenges that we face. There's no short-term fix for that, but I think collaboratively working together and uniting around the messages helps. On housing, there's masses of innovation happening in the south. Again, we're working with both of the local authorities and a whole number of partners to look at how we can facilitate some of the solutions around that. And our recent Convention of the South of Scotland acted as a housing summit with a lot of the partners around the table, from commercial builders to the registered social landlords, South of Scotland Community Housing and Homes for Good Scotland, that we're hoping to launch a new innovative partnership with shortly. So we're not downplaying the challenges, but we're trying to work collaboratively to address some of those. And then we're looking at the other opportunities just as that, massive opportunities for developing our green economy, focusing on the innovation that's happening here in regenerative agriculture, in energy transition and manufacturing and carbon capture in the creative industries, practically across every sector, actually. And then the work that Rob's leading on community wealth building intersects so much with the circular economy and most of those areas, that it's a real underpinning factor in how we take advantage of those opportunities going forward.
Yeah, and a great opportunity just to move on to that community wealth agenda, which you mentioned, Jane. Rob, you're at the coalface of that, now major agenda for SOSI and for the wider economy. In reality, what does community wealth building mean for the south of Scotland? And how do you see it evolving from perhaps the concept board to reality? Are there particular projects that you see flying the flag for best practice now?
Brilliant question. And the trick with this one is trying to find a relatively short answer because of the scope of community wealth building and the breadth that it covers. But I guess fundamentally it's about looking carefully at where wealth goes and how it's generated across the south of Scotland at the moment, and having a hard look at where there are possible opportunities to do it in a manner which both generates more of it, but also broadens the benefit of it to the people that live and work in the south of Scotland, and thereby ultimately, hopefully, to make this a really attractive prospect for people to come and invest in, to come and live in, to come and work, and help to address our demographic challenges. I've always felt that to an extent there's been a latent demand for community wealth building in the south of Scotland, and that communities have actually started in some very good examples to do some of it for themselves, precisely because there wasn't historically an economic development agency. Communities started to look at ways in which they might be able to do things better, owning assets, using them to develop economic activity. And we have very much, I think, plugged into that growing ethos and interest. maybe a couple of examples, Peter, if they're helpful.
Yeah.
One of the big challenges that we've got in the South, linked very much to what Jim was talking about in housing stock, is an immense challenge of energy inefficiency. Our housing stock is, on average, substantially less efficient than the rest of Scotland. Borders not quite so far behind, and Priest and Galloway quite seriously behind. Yes. And retrofit of that energy efficiency, a retrofit of that housing stock, is going to be both a massive challenge and a massive opportunity. So we're in the early days of a pilot project with the South of Scotland registered social landlords to look at taking a community wealth building approach to commissioning and delivering that work. In short, spending as much of that investment as locally as possible. And, you know, that's comfortably for RSL stock into tens of millions of pounds that could be spent locally. Looking at the wider housing stock across the region, and you are comfortably into hundreds of millions of pounds, I beg their pardon, by 2045, and those kind of key those key climate change target dates. It poses significant,
and of course, in a situation where, you know, the South starts from a position where it's got such strong individual, vibrant communities. You would think that logically the area would have a greater sense of buy-in, I think, into the whole community wealth building approach at an earlier stage, you would like to think.
I think there is. I think that people are not necessarily all familiar with the term yet, but when you explain the principles, so community ownership, for example, talk to any community group about community ownership, and almost all of them are either doing it or looking at it quite seriously. So there's a real engagement and actually a track record of delivery on the principles, although it hasn't necessarily been called community wealth building so far by the people that are doing it. But it definitely aligns with those five principles. No question at all. And the strength of, and the I guess the pride that our communities take in themselves and their ability to do things for themselves is a really big asset in helping to deliver this whole agenda.
And you know, Jane, at a strategic level for the organisation, the community wealth agenda needs knitted into net zero and into the wellbeing economy. And so how do you see, if you like, that this higher focus for the organisation being brought together?
I think we often talk about SOCE having a focus on the community's economy and the environment, or people, prosperity and planet through the place in the South of Scotland. And I think that's pretty much it. You know, there's such intersection between those three areas. We can't build the strong economy in the South of Scotland that we aspire to support if we've not got the communities on board and the communities in a position where they are empowered and they have the housing that's needed, the transport that's needed, the access to education and skills, and that ownership. And we're not going to achieve net zero and move forward on the just transition if we don't do it in that just way. You know, we need to have people right across the South of Scotland bought into this and to benefit from it as well. And I think people are at the heart of everything that we do. You know, they're at the heart of businesses, they're at the heart of economic growth, they're at the heart of innovation. So it's one of those foundation stones for us going forward.
Yeah, you've both got individually great experience of, you know, public and private sectors and local government across the region. How important is it that both all these areas work together to achieve a sustainable success? You know, Jane, is economic development more collaborative than it's ever been before? Is that your impression?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's critical. We've got to work together. We don't always need to agree, as long as we've got consensus that we're all pulling forward in the same direction for the same.
Because there's been times in the past where there's been an edge of, there's almost been an adversarial or almost competitive element to it.
I think there has been, but I think the South of Scotland, I get into trouble for saying this, but the South of Scotland was the first region to publish its regional economic strategy. And I think the regional economic partnership here has made huge inroads into building, you know, a really collaborative relationship. It can be challenging. We can disagree, but there is consensus around creating that fair, green and flourishing south of Scotland. And, you know, regardless of politics or which organisation NMD belongs to, everybody's bought into that really simple vision.
Yeah. Rob, do you have any particular reflections, maybe particularly on the local government side across the south, as to how actively and proactively and engaged the two local authorities are in the whole agenda?
So I think it's a really good point. I genuinely don't believe there's any other way to do it. I think that collaboration and partnership working is where it's at. And for a long time, as you'll remember, Peter, I guess local authorities tried to do the best that they could to support economic development with the resources that they had. And I think that ambition always outstripped what was able to be allocated to any particular initiative. And so I'm certain that the creation of SOZE and its development is regarded as a positive and an opportunity to work together. And in fairness, both local authorities were heavily involved in making the case to government back in the day, and it's some considerable time ago now, when I think back, but both heavily involved in trying to persuade central government that there really was a pressing need for an enterprise agency in the first place. And it took a long time to make that case convincingly, but we got there in the end. So I think that with the agency now operational and in existence, there is that real willingness to work closely together and multiply up by doing that the impact and the benefit that we can have.
Jane, you've talked about, obviously, the individual, we're talking largely about the regional aspect in the south, but obviously there's a national and international element as well. You've talked before about the concept of, as you've described it, a second Scottish Enlightenment. How do you feel that might be best contributed to across the south of Scotland? How can the region play its part in that vision for the future?
I think you've definitely done your homework there. I think that's a, for me, it's a really good example of how regionally we can contribute to that national vision for Scotland. I think that the next Scottish Enlightenment, that's something that if that's going to happen properly and genuinely, then we have to have national engagement, you know, from the furthest flung islands to the south of Scotland. We all bring slightly different things, and we all also contribute to some of the national programs that are going on just now, like ScotWind, for example. If we're looking at how we reach net zero and the just transition, then that's a national initiative that all of the regions have to feed into. I think for us in the south of Scotland, we have a real focus on our green economy, on our natural capital, on using our energy differently. But we also have, as we said, you know, the people and communities at the heart of that and hugely engaged with that. So I think it brings a slightly different flavour and perspective. And I think probably because, as Rob said, there was no development agency here. So now that there is one, we've got really strong engagement with the communities. It can be really challenging. You know, they'll tell us exactly what they think is needed, but they are a powerful force for change. And I think that in itself is hugely innovative and will definitely contribute to that.
And just in closing, maybe come to you both in turn. You know, obviously the inevitable question: What does good look like in your individual roles, Rob? What would you say in 10 years' time for the whole community wealth agenda across the south of Scotland? What does good look like?
Wow. Okay. I think it looks like a wealthier region where more resources spent locally supporting well-paid and skilled employment, where communities are empowered to own and develop their own assets and their own opportunities to further develop that economic activity. And also, I think, where we potentially have more employee ownership of or involvement with the direction of new business across the south. I think that would be a pretty good 10 years worth.
I think that sounds good. And Jane, building on that, what's the vision for 10 years' time? So we're 2032.
Actually,
it looks good. What does it look like?
Mentally applauding what Rob's just said. I think that summed it up brilliantly. I think to add to that nationally and internationally, the south of Scotland is known for our strengths. It's known as a region that's leading on regenerative agriculture, natural capital, inward investment in green economies, that it's known as a collaborative, innovative place, but it's also a place where people choose to stay, choose to relocate to, want to live, to work, to build businesses in. That we have more richness across the academic landscape, so students and young people of any age can choose to stay here and have access to any course they want, but also will relocate here to take advantage of some of the brilliant academic opportunities. I think that is probably it in a nutshell.
Sounds good. Jane Morrison-Ross, Rob Davidson, thanks very much. Many thanks to both Jane Morrison-Ross and Rob Davidson of South of Scotland Enterprise for joining me for that fascinating conversation on the challenges and opportunities ahead for SOSE as it continues in its development. Talking EDAS is a series of conversations hosted by the Economic Development Association Scotland, the country's foremost membership-driven association for all organisations and individuals with an interest in economic development. Find out more at edas.org.uk and on social media use the hashtag #TalkingEDAS to join the conversation.